2015, a new year. We often think of this as a time of reflection and resolution. Do any of you make New Year's resolutions? I suppose that many of us, in one way or another, strive to make improvements in our lives. Sometimes we may be successful, other times not so much. It's not that we don't want to do better, because we do. But, as it's often said, it's so easy to fall off the wagon. This is not a new phenomenon. Striving without complete success has been going on for a very, very long time. Today we're going to look at a passage from Paul's letter to the Romans. This passage that we're going to look at is only a small part of a dissertation by Paul encompassing at least chapters 6, 7, and 8. These chapters should probably be preached as a series, and I only have today, which prompts me to suggest that you read these three chapters and ponder them during the coming week. Today we begin in Romans chapter 7. If you have your Bible, turn to Romans 7. We'll begin at verse 14 and read on through 8:11. Romans chapter 7. Please stand for the reading. The title in my Bible for this bit of Romans is titled Conflict of Two Natures. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Here ends the reading. Please pray with me. Father, I pray that your Spirit will use the words which are spoken and touch the understanding of those who hear, that we might be brought to the assurance of Christ's sufficiency, even in the face of our own failures. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I read this passage and say to myself, Paul, Paul, why are you saying these things? Why are you beating yourself up? I look up to you. Your salvation was so dramatic. You accomplished so much. You wrote a good part of the New Testament, hundreds, thousands, most likely millions of people have been saved because of these writings. Your walk with Christ was filled with power and with miracles. How can you call yourself wretched? And then I have to take off the rose-colored glasses. Paul is saying exactly what must be said. He wants us to know the human condition by looking at the example of his own life. No one of us, from the greatest to the least, can be placed on a pedestal. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. We are flesh, and even though we belong to Jesus, we will do battle with that old nature all through this mortal life. I don't need to be told that this is true. I only need to be honest about my own life to know that it is. So the first thing we want to clarify is that Paul is writing as a Christian, and he is writing to men and women who are Christians. He's not looking back at who he once was. He's talking about who he is at that very moment. He is a man saved by and dedicated to Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior. This is important for us because we can begin to question and even doubt our salvation when we fail in our Christian walk. Our failures tend to haunt us and make us realize our lives are a constant battleground. In Matthew 6:24, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." I think the key word here is serve. So the second thing we have to focus on is this: who or what are we serving? Paul is clearly serving God, yet his old sinful nature causes him to stumble. He doesn't want to do so, but his flesh is weak. Does anyone relate to that? This reminded me of a story that I heard many, many years ago. A Native American man was trying to explain his life as a Christian and this dual nature that was at war within him. "It's like I have two dogs inside of me," he said. "A white dog that is my new life in Christ, and a black dog that is my old sinful life, and they are constantly fighting. Which dog wins?" asked one of his listeners. He thought for a few moments and said, "The one I feed the most." We can't deliberately feed our sinful desires and expect to grow in faith and obedience. That is serving the wrong master. I don't know about you, but my old nature gives me enough trouble without helping it along. If we are not serving God and feeding our faith, if we're not asking for and daily receiving God's forgiveness and grace, can we really expect this battle to go well? Thirdly, and of greatest importance, is for us to grasp the only reason why this battle that was raging in Paul and rages also in you and me can be won. Here again, the Word of God. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." That's the takeaway from today's sermon. Think about what Paul just said. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation." If you haven't circled or underlined that "no," we need to do that. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. This is our assurance. This is the confirmation of our adoption into God's forgiven family as daughters and sons. This is the reaffirmation of what God began at our baptism. This is the reason we come to the communion table in repentance and faith, a place where Jesus then comes to us in a miraculous way through these simple elements of bread and wine. And I want to say here a word to the kids that come forward with your mom and dad. Jesus comes to you as well in the blessing that the deacons and I are privileged to give you. Brothers and sisters, don't miss the significance of what Paul is saying here only a few verses after calling himself a wretched man. We all come to God in our need. there is really no other way to come. The wonder of it all is this. Because of what Jesus has accomplished through his life, his death, and resurrection, we are never disappointed when we come, since Jesus always meets us with his forgiveness and his love. Pray with me. Father God, the condemnation that should have been ours, you caused it to fall upon your Son. You provided the sacrificial lamb so that we might escape the consequences of our sin against your holy and just law. Lord, impress that deeply upon our hearts. Help us to be grateful recipients of your grace. Mold us into joyful, loving Christians who draw others to you. In Jesus' name, amen.